Today's Bureau Briefing is brought to you by MailChimp. More than 16 million people, businesses, and agencies around the world use MailChimp's marketing automation platform to reach their customers and grow their businesses. Their features and integrations give agencies the power to help their clients succeed through marketing emails, automated messages, and targeted ad campaigns. Their detailed reports help clients keep improving over time and provide agencies with the insight they need to effectively advise their clients and inform their marketing strategies. MailChimp loves empowering agencies and small businesses alike, so that's what they focus on every day. And we thank them so much for making the Bureau Briefing possible.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. Today, we have a former designer of productivity tools at Microsoft, design director at one of my favorite shops, Artifact, and the founder and CEO of 10,000 Feet, which, as the name will tell you, is a great tool to get a high-level view of how your shop is running. Today we have Mr. Martijn van Tilburg. How's it going, Martijn?
It's going well, Carl. How are you?
I'm good. So I wanted to get you on the show for a few reasons. One, we have a lot of shops that try to launch their own products, and it's a real struggle. And you've not only done that, but you've done it extremely successfully. So I'm just curious, when you came in to Artifact, and I know Artifact fairly well, I've hung out with Rob Gerling a couple of times at our owner camps. When you came into Artifact, what was that experience like leaving a place like Microsoft and coming into a truly just creative and entrepreneurial shop?
Yeah, when I left Microsoft, which was in 2006, which was actually the time that Artifact started. We were with four people then. So I got to be kind of like part of the whole journey from starting that company to growing it to where it is now. Wow. And Rob Gerling and Gavin Kelly also came from Microsoft. And when we started Artifact, we also were quite interested in seeing kind of like how could we run a business or how could we shape kind of like how our business is run. But our background was always also in making software. And so that's kind of like what came together. And we always wanted to make a product as well. And the experience that we had from building productivity tools and then the experience that we're building in running an agency and what motivates people, creative people, came together in building 10,000 Feet.
So how long were you at Artifact? How long had Artifact been in existence when the idea for 10,000 Feet came about?
We launched 10,000 Feet in 2012, and we started building in 2011. So that's about 5 years.
Wow. So you actually launched within a year of, or within a year of starting the product?
We did, yes.
Whoa. I only say that because we tried to launch a product at my shop. And granted, we were not former software people coming out of a Microsoft-type environment. We didn't necessarily have the determination, let alone the skill set. But even then, that just seems really fast, especially if you're going to be a service company as well. So did you take a small team and isolate yourself to work exclusively on 10,000 Feet?
Yes. One thing that we had learned, I think, from maybe some earlier products that we might have, or ideas that we might have had, is that it is very important to focus 100% building the product. And that's what we did as well. We allocated resources specifically to 10,000 Feet, so including me, and then also two developers. that where our goal was to build a product and see how far we would get it. And I think that worked very well for us. And I think that's an important lesson that we learned to not be distracted, because especially for a service agency, the clients can be very distracting, of course, if you're trying to build a product. So
I'm definitely familiar with that. So you've got this small team, yourself and two developers, and you're working on 10,000 feet. Were you in the same space as those that were working on client work?
Yes, we were in the same space, but we immediately, before we started the product, we had set up a separate company to keep things very separate. We were in the same space, but we were not interacting that much besides socially.
Gotcha. I've talked with some other companies who've successfully spun off products, and they mentioned that early on, it was a little bit of a cultural thing because a lot of people wanted to work on the cool new product, but they felt that they were constantly, their job was to do the client work. So they eventually ended up in separate spaces because it was just more comfortable for everyone. And I know that 10,000 Feet's got an amazing office. We were there, I think it was last October. And thank you, by the way, you hosted us for one of our operation camp happy hours, and it was so nice. So when did you move into that space? When did you actually leave the Artifact office?
We're actually pretty close together in office. So Artifact is kind of like at the floor below us, and we are kind of like the floor above. So when do we get our new, our official space? Maybe after like 3 years or so. And in the beginning, we're sitting in the corner or the mill room, or like 10,000 feet is a bootstrapped company.
Right.
And so the moment we were making enough money, we hired all those developers into the company and have been growing ever since. So every time we can like grow in revenue, we will spend that money on hiring more developers or focus it on marketing or sales. So we had to kind of like grow into a size where we can, you know, like where we can afford a kind of like a larger space as well.
So how has it developed in terms of the culture at 10,000 feet? Now that you've been, you're in your own environment and you're moving forward, what's it like to work there?
When we set out to build 10,000 feet, we had this philosophy around like what motivates people, and especially creative people are motivated by autonomy. And autonomy is reached if you have enough space in your work to kind of like determine kind of like what you're working and what the solutions are that you're thinking about. A lot of culture and a lot of tools out there are the opposite of that. They are more top down and hierarchical and more about giving tasks. And so we set out to create a tool that works well for the way we thought we wanted to work. And then for the company 10,000 feet, we use the same, it's built on the same philosophy. So we believe that I would call it a design-driven organization, in that we are very focused on the outcome and then let people come up with solutions to reach that outcome. And we don't just do that for developing the product, but also all the other aspects of operations, such as customer support and sales and marketing. So we have a very like flat organization where individuals have a lot of responsibility in trying to reach the outcomes that we set as a group.
Well, I know that you're a big believer in balance. And I know just from some of the other conversations I've had and some of the stuff that I've looked at, and balance when you're running a shop, and this was definitely true for me, but you've got the team and trying to keep the team happy, right? Keeping them engaged, keeping them feeling good. And you mentioned autonomy earlier, right? I mean, that's a huge part of it, autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And so you've got that aspect of it, but then you've also got profitability, right? If you're not going to be profitable, you probably won't be there. So the team definitely won't be happy if they're not still there. But then you've also got clients that you have to work with now. And clients for a product shop, or a product company, is totally different than having clients for a service company. At least it always felt that way to me. So when you look at balance at 10,000 feet, what does that look like?
I'm not sure it's so different from clients versus customers. Yeah, but you're right. Like you want to optimize for these three forces. And our goal is to create a product of high quality and to give great service to our customers so that they can accomplish what they want to accomplish with our software.
When we talk about 10,000 feet, you know, one of the things that struck me, I remember seeing the video that came out when it was first being shown. And I just remember as an owner, I was suddenly happy because there was this product that wasn't getting bogged down in a whole bunch of data I was never going to look at. Right? It was a product that was actually showing me data I could use, I could understand, I could figure out how to run my team better. So how did you get in that mind space for which data you were actually going to share and how you were going to share it?
Well, I think it really comes back to this notion of autonomy again, where there are certain requirements that you should adhere to, such as the budget. You know, you want to make money as a company, so you want to make sure that budgets run within that, as well as the deadlines. And so that's kind of like what we said, like you minimally need to do that, and then teams can fill in how they want to accomplish that by running the individual, like figuring out kind of like what needs to be done within a project. And then there is the managing of all that, like how do projects and people come together? And we really wanted to create kind of like a very visual version of that. And that's these two come together on the schedule where you can see when people become available, when you have a new project that you want to start. And as a business, you can make decisions when you can run your business in that sense.
So how has it been? Like, how are you doing right now? Are you still growing quickly? Are you getting a lot of feedback from customers of, you know, new features that they want to see? How does that work?
We've been growing very well. We have around 1,000 organizations that use 10,000 feet to manage their business internationally, so about 60 countries.
Oh, that's great.
We work very closely with our customers, understanding what they want. And yes, people have a lot of feature requests, and we will listen to those and figure out kind of like how it fits into where we want to take the product. And especially to keep a product high level, you need to make those decisions what to do and what not to include in the product.
Right.
And it's very easy to start to build everything and then have a lot of options in account settings to turn things on and off for people. But we try to keep it very simple, because when the product is simple, then everyone in the organization can use it. And that's another aspect of autonomy, and that's the transparency of the information so that everyone in the company can see it. Not just management, but also the team members that need to make decisions day to day. Like if you're a visual designer and you know that a project is running hot, then you will come up with different concepts that are more kind of like in line with where the project is going budget wise than trying to open it up and go very broad. So everyone can use, so by keeping it simple, everyone can get this information in real time and apply it to kind of like their day-to-day activities.
Yeah, I have to say, I think that's so important, because I know there's certain tools that I've tried to use that I actually felt dumb. Like I couldn't understand what it wanted me to do, you know, and then I couldn't figure out on the data, like what I was supposed to do with it. And to your point about transparency, and I firmly believe that transparency is one of the core pillars of a great culture. It's if people can see what's going on, they don't try to make it up. They don't imagine what's going on. So you're so much more in tune, not only with how the team is doing, how the company is doing, but how you're doing and what you should be working on. So totally agree on simplicity and agree also on transparency, because those, both of those, I think, keep everything moving so much faster with such, so less questions, fewer questions.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So tell me something about the team now. Like, how big is the team?
We are with 20 people right now. As I said before, kind of like constantly growing as we can afford it. Mm-hmm. And the team is made up of about half product people and half growth people focused on like marketing and sales and customer success.
Now, is everybody encouraged to be creative, given that you've come out of such a creative environment?
Yes, everyone is encouraged to be creative, and it's kind of interesting. As a growing company, we are hiring constantly, and recently we, like in our last role that we filled, it was just very obvious how much people are craving creativity, and how much they're not finding that in their current job, and even in more traditional creative roles, like let's say marketing, that could have quite a creative aspect, people were still not finding it. We offer that at our company, and mainly by being design driven and by being focused on the outcome and not focused on what the solutions might be that are most obvious. And so in a way, kind of like offering this opportunity for creativity is a huge benefit to people. Possibly might become kind of like a more driving force in the future as well, and not just for creative roles, but also for operation roles. So if that's sales, support, project management, all these will have more opportunity to be creative. I was going to say another trend that plays into that is this whole AI trend that. Right. Where, like, many people see this as kind of like a negative thing. Like, my job might go away because a lot of what I do might be more procedural versus strategic. But really, you can also kind of like see it as like this will introduce creativity in many of those disciplines. So let's say it's project management or sales or like bookkeeping, accounting. Like if a lot of like the rudimentary tasks will be replaced by AI, like what's left is the more strategic decisions that need to be made. So in a way, it's a very more kind of like upbeat message for those disciplines and those roles, because they also will get to be more creative, like, or they can change their roles into a more creative role if this AI trend is gonna pan out.
Well, and that makes good sense, especially when you look at, I mean, basically what you do is you give somebody parameters, right? You say, okay, this is the budget that we have or the time that we have. This is the outcome, like you're saying. And then if you can alleviate some of that more manual work that can be automated and give them that additional time, that's where creativity comes from, right? The ability to know within some sort of a parameter what you have to accomplish. And I remember the only boss I've ever had, Melanie, she would always watch me get started and she would go, why are you doing this? And one day we were at an event and the woman who was speaking said, when you're trying to train somebody, don't necessarily watch how they start. Wait and see how they end. Right. Because they have to make those mistakes. They have to go in those wrong directions to figure out they're wrong. If you just tell them, they're going to keep trying to go because they haven't experienced the mistake yet. And I think that's one of the great things about automation. It gives us just a little bit more time on the stuff that has to be done a certain way or is mundane, right? Is just going to get done, and allows people to grow. Because sometimes that wrong direction, as we might call it, ends up opening up a whole new opportunity.
Yeah, no, that's right. Like, what we have found as well is like we follow a method which we call outcome-based planning.
Okay.
And there are a couple of aspects to it, but it basically drives towards create or instills creativity in your job. And one aspect is very, it's somewhat obvious, but it's to run your work in projects. Like the moment you turn work into a project form, it opens it up to creativity. If work is more continuous, it becomes very hard to do that. And then so first is projects. And the second one is to set the outcomes and really focus the discussion around the outcomes. That's all that matters. And these outcomes could be user problems you're trying to solve, or they could be business goals that you have. But in the end, the most important thing that you're trying to do with this project is reach this outcome. And I think where most people get very bogged down is that they're focused too much on the solutions themselves instead of the outcomes. And I think in designers are often very good at understanding that there are many solutions for the same problem. It's just a matter of kind of like picking the right solution or coming up with the solutions and then deciding on which one to do. But one solution might not be that much better than others, but they might be a lot easier to accomplish. And that gets kind of like, it's kind of like the third part is that you want to set predefined, like, what's your investment in this project? How much do you want to invest as a company towards reaching this outcome? And if you have those three things, so the project, the outcome, and the investment, then it's up to the team to come up with solutions that would get you there. And they can find a solution that fits within the budget that's predefined.
What I love about that the most is that the team's incented to work together to get to the outcome. There's not some preconceived notion of whose role is what, even though they may have certain skills, but a salesperson could have an idea that they share with a designer because they're trying to get to the outcome. They're not as worried about themselves as individually. So is that fair?
Yeah. I think in many companies, work becomes kind of like a game of telephone where people assume too much that the solution that's handed down to them is what needs to be built. Like you could think about when you build a product and let's say an account manager talks to the client and gets requirements, and then a designer might take that and design a certain experience. And then the developer comes and will look at that and will try to build exactly what the designer had specified. But if you haven't talked about the outcome, you might be building things that are not important towards the outcome. Like maybe the designer has designed some widget or experience that looks really cool, but it's going to take a lot of time to build. And if the whole team starts with focusing on the outcome, it becomes a lot more easy to discuss whether a certain aspect of a solution is important or not. Like, or should we have this discussion at all? Because maybe it doesn't lead up to the outcome that's needed.
Well, and that's how you're able to release a product in a year, because you don't chase those little ideas if you can address what's the outcome.
Yeah, that's right. And lately, we like for us, like the outcome can be many different things. It can be a problem you're trying to solve, or again, a business goal. And for our product development, we are using the one part of our kind of like our outcome based planning is to use the jobs to be done framework from Clayton Christensen.
Right.
Where we try to identify what's the core thing that a user would use our product for to accomplish this one task, and what is what we are building doing that or helping with that, and is the solution that we come up with a feasible solution for us to build rather than some very complex solution that might take us a long time to accomplish.
Which gets back to your point about what you're willing to invest, right? Well, Martijn, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Great. I was glad to be here. Thanks for the talk.
Oh, you're most welcome. And thank you, Martijn. I really enjoyed the conversation as well. For everybody listening, if you're thinking about launching your own product or maybe looking for a tool to run your shop, approach it from an outcomes perspective. And be sure to swing by 10,000feet.com and see the great resource management software that Martijn's team has built. We'll talk to you soon.